What's up, guys? This is Travis Woodham, your host on The T-Wood Show. Welcome back to my podcast. I really do appreciate you guys being here and listening to this podcast. Seriously, it's awesome. I really appreciate you guys listening in. And we got an exciting episode number 6 for you guys. We're going to be talking about, is the Premier League the most entertaining league in the world? Also, we got some U.S. men's national team news before that. So, exciting episode. I got my friend Brock Kavanaugh. He and I will be talking about, what is entertainment to you? What is entertainment? And is the Premier League the most entertaining? So it's going to be very interesting. It's coming up right after I run down a little bit of the U.S. men's national team transfers, loans, and stuff like that. I will also be posting this list of U.S. men's national team players on my Facebook page, The T-Wood Show. So go to Facebook, search at The T-Wood Show, no hyphens, all together. Check it out, and you can keep up with your players on the U.S. men's national team. Super cool thing that USsoccer.com did is they created these rising star videos for all these young U.S. men's national team players who are coming through the ranks. Super cool. So if you guys want to get to know your future men's national team, check those videos out. You get to really know them a little bit better if you don't really know them at all. Which, for me, I really didn't know a whole lot about these guys until I watched these videos. So, check them out. Super well done. Congratulations, U.S. Soccer. I think you did a fantastic job. And by the way, the information I'm getting is off USsoccer.com. But here are some of my favorite loan deals that just happened. For instance, number one would be, for me, it would be Matt Miazga. Now, he is going to be playing in League One with the side FC Nantes. So he's going to be playing in the top flight of the French League, taking on Neymar and Timoué of PSG, mind you. So tune in to that game, guys. Matt Miazga taking on Neymar and Timoué. That'll be interesting if Timoué and Matt Miazga both start that game. Very interesting to watch. Love to see that. In Germany, though, you got Bobby Wood, who will remain in the top Bundesliga league, which is big news for him because his parent club, Hamburg, is in Bundesliga 2. But he just had a signing with Hannover 96 on loan with them. So Bobby Wood will be playing in the top league in the Bundesliga of Germany. So big news for him. Continue to develop your skills, man. Go against these top guys. And in England, we got left back Anthony Robinson, which I actually don't know this player very well. And I'm not sure if U.S. Soccer did a video on him or not. You can check it out. But recently, he just signed a new 3-year contract with Everton. But that team, Everton, did send him on loan to Wigan Athletic. So interesting move for Anthony Robinson there. I think he's already making an impact for Wigan Athletic, though. So keep your eye on that kid. And also, after signing with Manchester City, Eric Palmer Brown, which I think you really need to keep an eye on this kid. Manchester City, they're a good team signing this kid. So Eric Palmer Brown, he will be on loan, though. Even though he signed with Manchester City, he will be on loan with the Dutch side, NAC Breda. I'm not sure if I said that correctly or not, but regardless, he'll be playing on loan with the Dutch side. Then, actually, one of my favorite ones out of this group is Josh Sargent. He is now eligible to play for Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga. So I think this kid, he's got a good future. I think he's going to be perfect as a forward up there with Pulisic and Tim Wade probably. So I think Josh has got a bright future, and I think he's really going to develop there at Werder Bremen with Germany. So it's going to be interesting to watch him this year as his first year. And I think he actually already scored for the side in preseason. So that's going to be interesting to watch him. Again, I'm not going to go through all this list, but you can check it out on my Facebook page at The T-Wood Show. So now we're going to dive into the real question of the day. Is the Premier League the most entertaining league in the world? Brock Kavanaugh and I are going to discuss it. So tune in. Here's the next part of this podcast. I hope you guys enjoy. All right, guys. We got Brock Kavanaugh here, my friend and my coworker here at 323 Sports. He's here to talk about what is the most entertaining league in the world, or rather, is the Premier League the most entertaining league in the world? Number two, who will be the Golden Boot winner of the 2018-2019 Premier League season? And number three, what are the top six teams and who barely misses out in the Premier League this 2018-2019 season? Brock, thank you so much for joining once again on the show. I believe this is your second time on my show. Is that right?
It's my second appearance, and as always, it is an honor to be here, Travis. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Brock. I really enjoy having you on my show because I feel like you're very knowledgeable about the Premier League. Hence, you're a Manchester United fan. You love Manchester United. So tell us a little bit about your feelings with Manchester United this year. Are you feeling pretty good?
I'm feeling okay. There's a lot of doom and gloom, it seems like, especially I think people wanted us to do a little bit more in the transfer window than what we did. I wanted us to. But then if you sit back and look and just look at the players themselves that are on the team, I honestly believe that we have the second strongest team behind Manchester City in the whole Premier League. But people don't act that way. I think one of the things we'll talk about is top six in the league, and I think a lot of people are expecting United to be one of those top six teams that finish outside of the top four, those Champions League spots. But I have a different opinion on that we'll get into. But I'm feeling pretty positive and pretty confident that some of these key guys are going to step up this season.
Now, you spoke of key guys. I think of right away, when I think Manchester United for this season, I think Lukaku. Reason why, obviously, played for Belgium in the World Cup. He played very well. I think he was second for the Golden Boot winner of the World Cup tournament, I believe, right? I think he had five.
I believe he was tied for second when it came down to it with a couple people.
Yeah.
Harry Kane obviously getting the worst Golden Boot of all time. But
I don't know how he scores, honestly. I do not know how.
It was incredible. He's just a pure striker, Harry Kane is. He just gets goals when it looks like he shouldn't, but I mean that's the mark of a great striker, I guess.
Yeah, so I think of Lukaku, especially for Manchester United, as one of the more entertaining players to watch, as well as Pogba, and we'll get there. But we're basically talking on the topic of the question: is the Premier League the most entertaining league in the world? Now we kind of have to define what entertaining is. Because I feel like the word entertaining could mean anything to anybody. Like to me, entertaining means this, in soccer in particular. It means goals upon goals upon goals. And you got the super quick, flashy players. I love to see those players. And then the precision passers. Like for me as a midfield player, I love seeing a guy make it on the dime pass. This effortlessly making an amazing pass across the field. That to me is entertaining. But what is entertaining to you about the game of soccer?
What I define entertaining as is a league where on any given day any team can beat anybody. Mm. So entertaining to me is a team like Burnley setting up against Manchester City and knowing that they're going to play all-out defense for most of the game.
You got that right.
But on a counterattack, they're going to try to strike quickly, or they're going to, you know, launch the ball long to one person who draws a foul, and then they get a set piece that they score off of. To me, that's entertaining. Going into a game and, you know, you expect your big teams to win, but you know that on any given day, a Crystal Palace or, you know, one of these teams, a Newcastle, can come out of nowhere and just set up their tactics perfectly and win. That's entertaining to me.
Yeah. So a very competitive league, let's say.
Yes.
Is kind of what we're defining as entertaining.
Yeah.
So I like that. Now, here are my thoughts, and here are some stats I pulled about the Premier League in particular. Now, if you're a lawyer right now, you're trying to defend the Premier League and saying the Premier League is the most entertaining league in the world. Here are some facts about the Premier League. As you know, Mo Salah, or Salah, I think I said that correctly, he had 31 goals in 33 games. Now, he technically had 32 goals because he had one penalty, but that's an amazing ratio. And Harry Kane, I believe, had 30. So there's a lot of goals that are being scored here.
Yeah.
And let me just read a little bit more about Mo Salah. I mean, Champions League alone, he had 13 games in the Champions League. He scored 11 times. He had 5 assists. That's a lot of production. In the Premier League, like I said, 33 games, 31 goals with one penalty, 10 assists. In the FA Cup, he had one game and then one goal. But even in that one game, he scored. So, like, this guy is a machine. And I feel like a lot of eyes are going to be on Mo Salah a lot. But compared to other leagues with, you know, 33 games, 31 goals scored, 32 goals, compared to the MLS, which some people might say is more entertaining to the fact because it's very competitive, at any given day, everybody's at Crystal Palace, almost. But Nikolic from the Chicago Fire, he had 24 goals in the 2017 season. So that's, you know, kind of significantly less. I mean, I think at 24, I think the Premier League, I didn't check the stat, but maybe you guys can. I'm pretty sure it's like the fifth place guy in the Premier League had like 24 goals. That's number five, but that's number one for MLS. So a lot of goals are being scored in Premier League, even though it's very competitive. But what do you think? I mean, is there another league out there that maybe could score more goals? I didn't check this, the La Liga, but with Mo Salah and Harry Kane and Lukaku up there, there's a lot of goals being scored. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. The thing that you see with those guys is they are far and away, like, that's who their team relies on to score goals. They're the guy, you know, Salah and Kane, they're the guy that's going to be scoring goals. Manchester United, you know, you look at Lukaku and think that, but they've also got Sanchez who can score goals. They've got Rashford, Martial, Lingard, even Pogba that can pop up with maybe close to double-digit goals in a season. And I think that's one of the things, too, with the MLS is goals kind of come from all over the place. You'll have a center mid that runs up and joins in the play and gets a goal. You know, when you think of the couple people, and I don't watch the MLS as much as you, so maybe from my outside perspective looking in, like, hey, here's my opinion of the MLS. You hear of Giovinco, right, that's scoring a lot of goals for his team. You got Joseph Martinez in Atlanta that's scoring a lot of goals. And so that's kind of what I think of is, like, when I think of one team, that's the player that I think of. You've got Manchester City who maybe they didn't have one person at the top of the race or whatever, but they've got Aguero, Jesus, Sterling, Sané, De Bruyne that are all popping up with 10-plus goals a season, and that's entertaining as well. But, again, your definition of entertaining being goals scored, mine kind of being anybody can beat anybody. I think the Premier League does have that balance. I think that even furthers the case as the most entertaining league in the world.
Now let's move on to Flash. That's one of my other prerequisites to being entertaining is the Flash. I said, or in my opinion, that Pogba is actually a sneaky, flashy player. Like, he doesn't look as flashy because he's so big. Let me just tell you, he's 6'3", and do I mention this? His birthday is on March 15th, 1993, and he was born one day before me. So I feel like I have this connection with him now that I didn't know I had.
That's incredible.
We're basically the same age, the same person.
Yeah.
But completely different.
It's really weird to think about, honestly.
It really is. Like, I could be playing the Premier League right now, but I'm not.
Born in France. That's the only difference, Travis. The only difference.
That is the only difference, guys.
You're American, he's French. That's the only difference.
The only difference.
And you don't get as wild with your hair.
That's true. Now, I do get wild, guys, but not as wild as Pogba.
Yeah.
Okay. But about him, I mean, he's 6'3", pure muscle. but he has the technical ability too.
Yeah.
He's a big guy that has great technique, technical ability, and skill with the ball, which is a sneaky, flashy thing. And I like that. That's entertaining to me.
Yeah.
Because he can muscle you off the ball and make you look dumb at the same time.
Yeah. It's weird that someone can be both overrated and underrated at the same time. You got some people that would call him overrated because, of course, he's got his fanboys that go nuts and just think that he's the greatest thing in the world right now. But you've also got those people who just kind of hate on him a little bit. They're like, oh, he doesn't score enough goals. Oh, he doesn't get enough assists. Oh, he does a little bit of everything, though. Like you said, his ability to tackle, his ability to pass, how shifty he is for how big he is and how sneaky he just drops his shoulder one way and just accelerates the other way. I mean, he's an absolute machine and one of my favorite players. He's grown on me a lot. At first, I was very excited when he came back to United, and then he kind of annoyed me a little bit. I thought that he should focus more on playing than his social media and hairstyles and stuff. But
that's the flash we're talking about.
Exactly, and I've come to accept that, and especially after now that he's a World Cup winner, I think the guy can do anything that he wants to do. He has full permission to go and post whatever type of dancing video. I would prefer him not do it the day that we lose to Liverpool or City, but he can go and do what he wants to. You know?
He has won himself freedom with that.
Exactly.
And as you guys know, you saw him play for France in the World Cup win, and he did the dirty work. He did. Yep. And he did everything. So not only Pogba, but what's some other players that are flashy in the Premier League? I think of right away was Pogba being a sneaky, flashy guy.
Mm-hmm.
But another guy that most people kind of don't really pick their eye on a lot of times is Hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's almost like slow motion sometimes.
Yeah.
But he's got that sneaky quickness.
Yep.
And he kind of like slows you down and kind of mesmerizes you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does like this quick little cut and you're like, what just happened?
Yep.
So guys like him, De Bruyne, or...
Yep.
However you say his name,
yeah.
I'm sorry. But there's plenty of guys, I feel like, that got the flash there.
Yeah.
But the thing that's going against the Premier League, or saying, not against, but yeah, against in this argument, would be Neymar in the League One, in the French League. I mean, he's probably the epitome of flash.
Yeah. Well, PSG as a whole, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mbappe and Di Maria. I mean, it goes on and on how many guys that they have on their team that are capable of mesmerizing the audience. And you know, but that again, that's just a one-off. I mean, you look at Monaco and Lyon as being the only other teams that really provide a challenge at all. In Germany, Bayern Munich walks away with it every year, and in the Italian league, Juventus has won like 7 titles in a row or something like that, and there's a couple more teams that are, you know, at least poised to challenge them a little bit better. Roma and Inter Milan both had good transfer windows. But now that Ronaldo's with Juventus, I mean, it should be another cakewalk for them. So, again, that goes back to my definition of entertaining is, are there multiple teams that can actually challenge for a title? You know, and is there any other league where the person who's in last place could, on a good day, beat the first place team?
Good point.
I don't think there's really too many other ones besides the Premier League. I saw something that just the 3 teams that were promoted into the Premier League this past year, which would have been Fulham, Cardiff City, and I'm forgetting one.
Brighton?
No, Brighton was already there.
Huddersfield?
No, Huddersfield was there. Wolves. Wolverhampton.
Oh, Wolverhampton, yeah.
Can't forget about Wolverhampton because they're my second favorite Premier League team this year. We'll talk about that later.
Is that right?
They are. But those 3 teams combined spent over $200 million on new transfers. The money that's in the Premier League, no other league can allow a team that was just promoted to spend that kind of money to be immediately competitive with the rest of the teams.
Yeah. So the money has to do a lot with that. And they realize people who spend the money, you're going to get the flash, you're going to get the players, you're going to get the entertainment. So is it fair to say the leagues with the most money is probably going to be the most entertaining?
You would think so. And, of course, with the TV rights here in America, the Premier League is you know, far above anybody else. You can find that on NBC Sports or any of the channels that NBC owns. I've seen that they've done games on Sci-Fi before when they needed it.
Really?
Because NBC owns Sci-Fi, I guess. Oh, yeah. So, and USA, all these different television stations, but I mean, it basically takes it being Real Madrid versus Barcelona for ESPN to air a Spanish league game. That's the only one you're going to see, you know?
That's true.
And so that money allows them to then bring in these guys that are entertaining. You know, you'll see some of these guys that get linked with going to huge clubs, and then all of a sudden they'll sign, you know, for a Southampton. And you're like, how in the world did they do that? But they're able to pay more than even some of these so-called big teams in Germany, France, Italy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the one last point that I would have to argue about what is entertaining would be the precision passers, the midfielders in particular. For instance, what's the think of the Premier League right now? You got Nicolas Otamendi, who's an Argentinian national player. He plays for Man City. He is a defender, which, to my point, it's kind of a little bit unfair to where, like, defenders are going to have to pass. They're usually not going to go out there and dribble. But here is his stats. Otamendi is a defender with Man City. With 25 games played, he had 2,085 completed passes. So that's an average of 83.4 completed passes per game. That's a ton, dude.
Yeah.
I can know at Bob Jones when I play soccer, there's some games that we struggled as a team to get 200 passes.
Right.
That are completed.
Right.
This guy is doing 83.4 completed passes per game.
Right.
As an average. Just let that sink in, folks. That's a lot of completed passes in one game. The next person in line to kind of go up against that would be from La Liga. You know him, Rakitic. He had the most passes in La Liga last year with 2,253 passes that were completed. So that is less. I'm sorry, it is not less. It was more than Otamendi. So are we saying that La Liga might have the upper end with precision passers? I mean, you got Messi, Rakitic, you got, you know, other players like
Cruz,
Modric.
Yeah.
So you got you got a ton of midfield players in La Liga that are the precision passers. So I would say La Liga has the upper hand on Premier League if you are a midfield lover. Maybe. I'm just saying, that's to the point of completed passes, 2,253 for Rakitic as a leading completed passer, compared to 2,085 completed passes as the top passer in Premier League.
But and I would say to kind of counter that is, I think Nemanja Matic was Manchester United's leading passer, if I'm not mistaken. It may have been one of the defenders because they drop it back to the defense so often. But you look at the passes that he completed, and most of them were either sideways or backwards. You know, so passes completed may not necessarily be the one you look at, but to your point, when you talk about cross-field passes and stuff like that, I think that just the overall level of passing ability, La Liga has it locked down, I think for sure. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of guys, probably even some of the ones listening to this podcast, that they would prefer La Liga over Premier League because it's more of what someone would call a beautiful style of play, where they're moving the ball around. And the Premier League kind of in the past is known for hit the ball long, and it's just, it's, you know,
grind it out
and bruising, tough guys playing and stuff. And that's changed a little bit in recent years, but I think as a whole, you take, you know, your average La Liga player, they're probably a better passer than your average Premier League player.
Yeah. So it's interesting, though. I mean, out of the three, like I said, that qualified entertaining to me, in my opinion, was goals. It was number one. Number two would be quick, flashy players. Number three would be precision passers. So I think the Premier League pulls away with two out of the three, though. La Liga would probably be second for me. And then maybe MLS for me, in my opinion. Just because I think the MLS is actually very ultra competitive, because I think most teams on any given weekend can beat each other. I mean, you don't have these huge teams like, for instance, La Liga. I mean, Barca, Real, Atletico Madrid, they're usually the top three. Everybody else, you don't really hear much.
Sure.
PSG, League One, That's about it. Yeah, I mean,
I think though the difference with MLS is like there's not for the average casual fan that like if it's on and nothing else is on and so I'll watch it because I want to watch soccer, which is kind of how I am. I don't really know who the strongest team in the league is. When you look at the table, mm-hmm. even after the game's over, it'll be like, you know, 15 matches played and New York Red Bulls will be in first with like 23 points in the league. You know, mm-hmm. like they're not even averaging, they're averaging like 1 point something points earned per game. And so to me, like, I guess when I say anybody can beat anybody, the Premier League, there's clear favorites. The top six, you know, they're pretty much always going to be locked into place. And as far as challenging for a title throughout the whole season, you may not have some of these lower teams competing at the top, but in a specific game or in a particular game, you can see some of these guys come away with a result. It's very rare that you see a huge scoreline, like you see PSG beating people 6 or 7-0. You know, you'll see Real Madrid beat, you know,
yep.
Girona or something like 7-1, you know, and stuff like that. It's just nuts how those score lines, you typically don't see that as much. Now, someone like you that likes a lot of goals, you may like La Liga. You may like seeing all those goals flying and see a team beat up on somebody 7-0 because, yeah, goals are fun to watch. But keep me on the edge of my seat and it getting into stoppage time and it's Manchester City versus Bournemouth and it's stoppage time and they're tied. You know, that's what pumps me up. Yeah. I'm as engaged as I ever am in a game, you know, when my favorite team's not playing, watching that and seeing, like, what could possibly happen? Is there any way that Bournemouth clears it out of their box and gets a breakaway
yeah.
and can score on a counterattack? Like, that's exciting, yeah. you know.
So, like, talent-wise, Premier League is pretty widespread. They're not top-heavy, I don't think. So you got a lot, you know, I mean, think, for example, was it 2016-17 season when Leicester – won the Premier League? Or was that 15-16?
I think it was 15-16 because yeah. last year would have been the 17-18 season with City, and then Chelsea won the year before 16-17. So the 15-16, yeah. Leicester City won the Premier League, which that'll have to be made a movie one day.
It's got
to
be.
You know, it's got to be.
But there's, still, that's to my point, though. What I'm saying is they have talented players.
That's such a one-off. You yeah, know, yeah. you got maybe five other teams. The Premier League got changed over. It used to be called like the English Championship or something, or the EFL back in the day. But now, with it being, since it's been dubbed the Premier League, which was the 1992-1993 season, I believe, you've had Manchester City win a couple in the past couple of years. You got Manchester United that's won a ton. Chelsea's won quite a few. Arsenal's won a couple. Leicester City. And then there may have been like the one-off, like back when Newcastle was really good. Liverpool hasn't even won a title since the Premier League. Yeah, since the Premier League got its start, they haven't won a title yet. So I mean, it is very limited to what teams are winning. But again, especially in recent years, I'm just saying the 20th place team at least has a shot at beating the first place team on their day.
Yeah. Now, that all made sense to me, and we're gonna just move on to what our Golden Boot winner would be for the Premier League and our prediction with that. So I'm just going to start and then you can follow me, Brock.
Sure.
For the Golden Boot winner of the Premier League this season, 2018-2019 season, for me, you're going to like this. Romelu Lukaku. Now, the reason I picked him, as I mentioned before, was because his frame, I mean, he's 6'3", 207 pounds. I mean, that's fairly big.
Yeah, that's a big guy.
He's 25 years old as well. He's born in 1993, which I was as well, but he was not. He was born in May, so not March. Anyway, I think he will win the Golden Boot. I think this is his year to kind of break out to me, just because he is a very powerful forward. He's got a good frame that midfielders can find him pretty easily. I feel like he can body up some center backs and just receive the ball, quick turn and shot. I don't know. I think he played really, really well with Belgium. And I think it's kind of promising to me, I think, is Lukaku for Golden Boot.
Yeah. I think with him, and if you look at his stats from last season, I think he had about a twice as high conversion rate as Harry Kane did. But Harry Kane scored more goals. So what that means is Harry Kane's getting a lot more chances per game. Mm-hmm. He might put away one out of every four, whereas Lukaku's putting away one out of every two chances that
yes.
he gets.
Efficiency.
It's just going to come down to if United can create enough chances for Lukaku.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to come down to. But my pick, I'm torn. I think it's either going to be Salah or Kane. It has to be one of those two guys, I think, just because they're so consistently to the top. Both of their teams play exciting, attacking soccer and create a lot of chances. And again, they are the guy for their team. You know, and Salah is a right winger. I think last year he set the record for the most goals scored by a winger. He actually broke Ronaldo's record from back when Ronaldo was at United as a left winger. So to break that guy's record is pretty impressive. But, you know, even though he's not the striker, he's still the guy that when they attack, he's kind of drifting into the middle. And he's I didn't want to accept how good that he was since he plays for our biggest rival. I wanted to just say that it was a one-off type of a season. But the more I've watched the guy, I think he's a different animal.
And incredible.
I think that Liverpool's coach, Jurgen Klopp, has set them up in a system that suits his players, where Mane, Firmino, and Salah are just going to continue to be able to run at defenses and be as fast as they can, and Salah putting away those goals. So if I had to lean one way, I'd probably pick Salah as my Golden Boot winner again for the second year in a row. But I do think Kane and Lukaku are going to be up there, and I think Lukaku's a good shout if United can create those chances.
I think you're right. And Mo Salah is, I think, would actually throw it in there as a category of a flashy player a little bit because he's very quick, very technical player. And I think the reason why he scored so many last year was because he's found himself in these tight situations, but somehow he scores. Yep. And it's amazing to watch that. Like, just as a soccer player myself, too, like realizing how difficult it is to just weave through some defenders in very tight spaces. Yep. I mean, these are Premier League defenders, some of the best in the world. And he's making them look silly and scoring. So I think Mo Salah is definitely a safe pick, Brock. I think he's great. But as we wrap things up here about the Premier League, we're going to go right now. We have the top six. We're going to predict the top six teams that will finish out the 2018-2019 season. As of right now, after the first week, here is the stats. Liverpool's at first. Chelsea's at second. Bournemouth is at third. Crystal Palace is at fourth. Man City is fifth. But those are all at 3 points each. Yeah. So it's nothing really to say anything. Right. But what do you think? What six teams are you thinking will fall into place the 2018-2019 season?
Travis, I'm going to start at number six and work my way down.
You do that.
Okay. Number six... this could be a bold prediction, potentially, but I'm going to go with Everton as number six.
You serious?
Okay? I'm going with Everton as my number six because they had some good signings. They brought some guys in on loan. They got two Barcelona players, and they bought one of them, Yerry Mina, the Colombian center defender, and Andre Gomez in center mid. Arsenal is usually who I would say they're going to be battling 6th and 7th place. I think it's going to be them, and I do think Wolverhampton are going to be, I think those are 6th, 7th, 8th. I think that's pretty much those three teams. Wow. I think Wolverhampton has a shot at finishing in the top 10, potentially in a Europa League spot. But I'm going to go Everton. I just think that Rooney's not there anymore. He's with DC United, and so I think they don't have necessarily like a focal point of the team that they feel like they have to. Like, I feel like Rooney was always kind of just shoehorned into the team. He was kind of like, well, he's
welcome back to the club.
Let's put you at center mid, but maybe that's not your absolute strength in the Premier League or whatever. Anyways, I think Everton at six. I'll hurry through these. Everton at six. Number five, I think, is going to be Chelsea. Chelsea's got a great new manager, Sarri, that came over from Napoli, and a really good style of play. They're going to be entertaining to watch once they settle into his style. I just wonder how long it's going to take, and I think that he needs to bring in a couple more players that suit his style. And so, anyways, I think they'll finish number five. I think four is going to be Tottenham.
Okay.
Tottenham was the only team to not spend any money in the Premier League transfer window.
Really?
They did not buy any players at all. I think they let a couple guys go on loan, but they almost have the exact same team. And you might be a little bit like, oh. But if you look across their team, they've got a really solid team. Like, there's not too many positions that you would look at and be like, wow, they really need an upgrade at that position. You know? So I think they're still very solid. Three, it kills me to say it. I think that's where Manchester United's going to come in. They're going to finish third.
You don't like that.
I still think we're strong enough to You know, we're definitely going to finish inside the top four. I think there's a lot of people who think we won't, but I think we will. But I just don't know that we have enough to finish above Liverpool in second, and then Manchester City winning back-to-back titles for me. I think that City will finish first, but I do think it's going to be a lot closer. Last year, they won the league by 20 points, which is ridiculous. They literally didn't have to play their last six games, and they still could have won the league. But they won by 20 points. I think it'll be closer, but I do think Liverpool and City will be maybe within about 8 or 9 points of each other, but I think they'll be probably 8 or 9 points above the rest of the table too.
Brock, I feel like you got really good predictions right there, and great analysis for each one, by the way.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to give you what mine are. I'm going to go the same route you did.
Okay.
So I'm going to start from
6-1.
Yep. But I'm going to also say who misses out.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So I think Everton is going to barely miss out at that seventh spot.
Ah.
Because they got rid of Rooney.
Okay.
So that's my argument. Okay. They got rid of Rooney, and they screwed themselves.
Okay.
Pardon my French.
It's interesting.
But Rooney, he needed to be there for Everton. And I think they're going to barely miss out, and it's because of Rooney missing. Number six, I'm going to say Crystal Palace.
Ooh.
I always like throwing them in there just for kicks. Because I like Crystal Palace. I like the name. It's kind of unique.
Mm.
I don't know. I think they're just kind of a fun brand. So that's why I put them at six. There's no really in particular reason else other than that. Number five, I'm going to put Chelsea.
Okay.
Which is a little strange, I know. But I think Chelsea...
We've got the same number five.
Yeah. But Chelsea's at number five.
Okay.
Arsenal, number four.
Ooh.
So we're.
I'm really interested in your top three now.
Yeah.
Somebody big missed out.
That's true. Now number three for me is Mo Salah and Liverpool.
Okay.
I think they're gonna finish third, even though Mo Salah is still gonna have a really good season. I just don't think they have enough to beat out number two, Manchester United.
Okay.
So Manchester United's gonna finish second behind Tottenham.
Is that
don't laugh,
Brock.
That's my prediction.
City's not even in your top seven?
Nope. I don't like City, okay?
De Bruyne got hurt today.
Yeah, so there's my point.
So he's going to be out for 3 months. I'm trying to help you out here.
I'm helping myself by saying Harry Kane, Eriksen, and Dele Alli, they're all going to go crazy this season. And they're going to finally win the Premier League. It's been a long time, Tottenham Hotspurs, I know. It's been a while. It's a long time coming. But Tottenham's going to win the league the 2018-2019 season. Now, do not laugh, because Leicester City, people have laughed at. And they've won before.
Travis, I feel like when you were thinking of your predictions, you forgot City was in the league when you were going through. I'm going to let you just own it. You need to stick by it, because I love that you predicted Crystal Palace over. And you didn't even have Arsenal in your top seven either, did you?
No, I did. Arsenal at number four.
An F4, okay.
But Manchester City, I have them last.
They're going to get relegated.
They're going to get relegated because...
First team to go from winning it to getting relegated in back-to-back seasons. Guardiola's going to get...
Put your money on it.
After the fifth game, Guardiola's going to quit. Then it's going to come out that they've all been doing steroids. They're all going to get banned for the whole rest of the season. They're going to finish with 0 points.
Aguero's going to get hurt. De Bruyne's already hurt.
Guardiola quits.
Silva? Is it Silva?
Silva. They've got two Silvas now. Yep. Bernardo and David Silva.
They're both going to get hurt, too. They're going to finish last.
Maybe we could pay off Cardiff City, because Cardiff's going to get relegated. They don't have a shot. But Cardiff, maybe when they play City, like, somebody could slip them some money, you know, and just tell them to go after everyone's kneecaps.
I think Sir Alex Ferguson's going to slip them the money, bro.
He might. He'd be the type of guy to do it.
Yeah, guys. But all seriousness, I did actually forget that Manchester City was actually a quality team. Okay, so I did not have them there. But I'm still going to stick with my final. I don't think Manchester City's going to get in that spot for Champions League.
Okay.
All right, so that wraps it up for our predictions. And please check out my new Facebook page, at The T Wood Show. It's on Facebook. Please give us a like. We'll be posting some things on there. It's a brand new page, so forgive me if I don't have a ton of content on there, but it's mainly the podcast anyway. The Facebook page is just to supplement it and give it a little bit more of a boost, but I would like you guys to like it.
Shout out to our sponsors at the U.S. Navy. and
the U.S. Navy
are sponsoring us and Great Wolf Lodge.
That's false, guys.
We're actually sitting on a water slide right now, a lazy river, recording this podcast. That's incredible.
It's absolute lies, but at some point we would like the Great Wolf Lodge to sponsor us. That would be awesome.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah, because we're giving you a free shout out right here on my podcast to my 39 listeners.
So if you work right for the Great Wolf Lodge, pass this on to whoever needs to be passed on to.
That's right. All right, guys. Well, thank you, Brock, once again for joining my show. I think we had a great show.
It's always a grand old time.
But it's all up to the opinions of our listeners to see if this is actually a great episode. So give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Again, at The T Wood Show on Facebook, or you can email me. My email button is on my Facebook page. So feel free to email me, thetwoodshow@gmail.com. All right, guys. Peace out. Take care. Enjoy some soccer.